Keeping track of one baby is tough. Add another baby to the mix and the situation can get really crazy. Baby monitors are great for helping twin parents keep tabs on their little ones. But with so many options to choose from, how do you know which one to pick? Today we're exploring the different features available on baby monitors designed to keep your kiddos safe. This is Twin Talks.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a two for one.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two.
Welcome to Twin Talks, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Twin Talks is your weekly online on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. I'm Sunny Galt, and I'm sitting in as your host for today. Have you heard about the Twin Talks Club? Our members get bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. You can subscribe to our Twin Talks newsletter and learn about the latest episodes available. Another great way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Twin Talks app. It's available in the iTunes, Android, as well as Windows Marketplace. So before we get going with today's conversation, let's introduce some of the people that we're going to be talking to today. Really, we've got myself, and Brandy here is joining me in the studio as a panelist. Brandy, I'll let you go first. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your twins.
Sure. My name is Brandy Wallace. I have two sets of twins. The older twins are identical boys that are just a few days shy of turning five. And the younger set are fraternal boy-girl twins that just recently turned two.
Okay, and you guys know me, but I'll introduce myself as well. So I have four children, and my oldest is four. It's a boy, and I have a two-year-old son, and then I have twins as well. Mine are identical girls who are about to turn one next week. Okay, it's time for a really fun segment on the show. It's called We're Expecting What, and it's our chance to share your awesome stories of how you found out you were pregnant with twins. And this comes from Kesha. Kesha is writing us from Alabama. And Kesha says, I was the one who would always say, I don't know what I would do if I had twins, or I don't see how people do it with twins or more than three kids. Well, I'm 28 years old. I had my two girls first, who are now ages 7 and 5. When I got pregnant, I decided that I was going to have my tubes tied. I thought three was enough, and me and my husband were wishing for a little boy. When I went to my first ultrasound, I had to have a full bladder. I've been drinking water all morning, so when I got to my appointment, my bladder was full. I could no longer hold it, so they called me back to get a couple ultrasound pictures before I could empty my bladder. When I got back, the doctor and the ultrasound lady were waiting. I was thinking there must be something wrong. She asked me to lay down so she could complete the ultrasound. Then she asked what were the sex of my kids at home. I told her two girls. Then she told me, well, you're now having two boys. I started crying and I asked her, did you say two? Two of what? We were in shock for a long time. I had a normal pregnancy, never got sick. I went into labor at 37 and a half weeks, and it was actually on my husband and I's anniversary. And yes, I got my tubes tied. No more surprises. I love this story. I think that's so great. I'm so glad you got your little boy. I have a similar story where I was just hoping for a little girl. I already had two boys. So it was pretty much the exact opposite of you, Kesha. And I got my little girls too. So two and two for both of us. How awesome is that? Kesha, thanks so much for writing this in and for listening to our shows.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at SkylightFrame.com/easy.
Today, we're continuing our series focused on twin baby gear essentials. And these are items that we believe can really help twin parents just kind of ease the burden, keep track of their kids a little bit easier. Today, our expert is Julie Valli. She's the consumer safety expert with Safety First. Julie, thanks so much for joining us today on Twin Talks.
Oh, it's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what are some of the benefits of using a baby monitor? Why would not just twin parents, but even parents in general, how does it help parents?
Baby monitors really give you a little bit of that peace of mind. You put your child in the nursery, put them down for a nap, and you do know that that's really the safest place in your home for your baby where you can walk away. But by having a monitor, you're able to keep track. You can either see them if you have a video monitor or hear them so that you're able to respond to their needs and know whether do you need to check, or can you give them just a little minute or two so that they can put themselves back to sleep?
So I have to ask, Brandy, as a mother of two sets of twins now, I would imagine having a second pair of eyes, ears, whatever, to help monitor your twins would be very helpful. What's been your experience with baby monitors?
They've been a lifesaver for us, actually. The almost five-year-old boys still have monitors in their room. I think they just think it's a fixture in our home that is comes automatically in every home.
Right.
We have one. We don't have the monitors that pan and tilt, so we have two, one positioned on each bed, and then we also have the same for the cribs for the smaller children as well. And you know, being a parent of twins, one of the benefits of having for us a video monitor, I need extra eyes,
yes.
not just the ears,
yes.
is that if I just had the ears and I heard a cry, how do I know which child
which
is
baby
crying?
It is.
And the video monitors came in handy because I would hear a cry and I would look and there's the baby crying. I'd hear a cry again. I'd look. Oh, wait, that's a different baby. That's
right.
Not the same baby. So then it lets you know how to parent better.
Yeah.
Same child having a long issue or
right.
or two short issues with two different children. So that's been very helpful.
So two cameras then on each?
Four cameras that all report back to the same handheld monitor.
That's like a surveillance system
it
in
is.
Your house.
I will use them until they turn 18 and move out of my home.
And when they're trying to sneak in, when they're teenagers.
Really? Well, even the sneaking when they get older and convert to a big kid bed.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to sometimes sneak out of bed.
Yeah.
And I can watch them and have this booming voice come from the hallway.
Oh,
get back in your bed.
Yes, exactly.
They don't know how I know that. But
mother has eyes everywhere.
That's true. So they've been very helpful.
Okay. So Julie, what are the basic components or parts that are involved in baby monitors and how difficult are they to use?
Baby monitors really run the gamut. So you do look at the price. You do look at how many of the cameras will you need. How big of an area are you trying to monitor at any given time? So most monitors will come with a base unit and a camera unit, and then you can add additional cameras that feed back to that base.
Okay.
And that's what we've done.
That's what you've done. You can add like additional monitors to it. You know, I had the situation. So I had a video monitor. I got it with my firstborn son. And we kind of used it with my second son as well. Once my second son came along, it really became a monitor for both of them. And I went online because I thought, well, I've got two babies now. I want to, you know, get a second video monitor. And it was one of those situations where our model, like they were no longer producing our model. And I'm like, oh no. But there were some different things you could do. You can go on Craigslist or whatever and try to find them. I never really went that far. But I remember thinking, oh, it'd be really nice to be able to add on to that and be able to kind of have it grow with your family. And now I could totally, you know, use that in the case of my twins. Julie, let's talk about the features. You know, a lot of different features out there now. And I kind of wanted to go through and talk about what parents should look for if they're considering these features. So the first point that I wanted to bring up is analog versus digital. What can you tell us about that?
Analog versus digital is basic and then a little more technology. Analog is basic radio waves. One of the things is that analog monitors will be less expensive, but think about where you live. If you're in a densely populated area, if you live in an apartment building, analog are also much more susceptible to interference, where other people may be able to come across your radio wave and hear as well. Additionally, if there are other families that have analog, you may end up hearing theirs signals also. Digital are a little more secure. They have more difficulty for people listening in, so that they, in some models, are encrypted in their signal, but digital is a little more difficult for anyone else to hear. Also, digital is a little more crisp in terms of what you will hear and what you may see. Analog, there could be interference and static and may not give you quite as clear of a signal.
Okay. Brandy, do you know what you have, analog, digital?
I don't know. I left that up to my husband.
If you have the video, Julie, do they actually make analog for video or is all video digital? Do you know?
Pretty much all the video is digital because of what's needed to transmit a video signal.
Okay.
I feel like the only issue that may have come up with us, and I don't want to throw this out there and not have an answer for it, but I feel like maybe there was something with that video signal getting to our monitor may have had interference from our Wi-Fi.
You know,
there's something we read about
something.
That.
There is something about that. I recently had the people that handle our internet, they came out to the house and we have a monitor. It's just a monitor that plugs into the wall that kind of hooks up to our baby monitor. And it was downstairs and we were complaining to the guy that we weren't getting, you know, whatever the download speed we were supposed to be getting. And he looked over at the baby monitor and he's like, is that caught, you know, that could be causing interference. I'm like, honestly, we hardly ever turn that thing on. I'd be really surprised. Julie, have you heard anything about baby monitors and how it affects Wi-Fi?
Well, absolutely. You know, all of us are just going so wireless. So you do have to take into consideration what other wireless devices you have in your home. If you have cordless phones and radios and even the microwave oven, all of these things can cause interference in a wireless baby monitor. Depending how close you are to your neighbors, even their wireless devices can cause problems and interference. And so those are things that you do need to take into consideration in terms of, you know, how technological is your home and how much wireless do you have going on?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have a question for you, Sunny. Huh. What do you think about those video, or I guess the video monitors that allow parents to look at the signal on their phone or on their computer at work?
Oh, yeah, the ones and I definitely wanted to touch on that because there's some that hook up to apps that you can download and stuff like that. I love the concept of it. It does, and this kind of leads into the next point too, but it does kind of worry me a little bit about security and if I can see it, can other people see it, and all that kind of stuff. So I love what it can do for parents that can't be at home or right near their babies all the time, but I do have some concerns. So, Julie, when it comes to security, I know we talked a little bit about wireless and how, or digital, I guess I should say, and how that might be a little bit more secure. Is there anything we should be looking for specifically on monitors besides it being digital that might make monitors, the images and everything we hear, be a little bit more secure?
The difference in digital is there are digital baby monitors, and then the higher end ones, the ones that are really taking technology to that next step, will encrypt that signal so that it is more secure. So I think when you're looking at those digital monitors, asking questions and looking to see if any of the products end up having encryption or encoding to them, which do make them a little bit more secure in their safety.
Okay. And those would probably be monitors that might be a little bit more expensive because it's got this additional feature, correct?
Anytime you're adding those kind of features, there does end up being a cost involved.
Yes. Okay. All right. When we come back, we're going to continue to break down these features available on baby monitors, including monitors, we kind of alluded to this before, that connect to your smartphone. So we'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we're talking with Julie Valise. She's the consumer safety expert for Safety First, and we're talking about what features to look for in a baby monitor. So let's go ahead and continue with our list. So the size of the monitor, Julie, it comes in all different types of sizes, both the transmitter as well as a receiver. What should parents know about the size?
One thing about the size that parents should really remember is that they have been built so that they can see a fairly large range of the crib or the room. One of the mistakes that sometimes parents will make is they feel because it's small, it also needs to be very close to the crib or the baby. But in fact, you do need to make sure that the placement is at a minimum 3 feet away from the sleeping environment. It's really recommended 6 feet away from the sleeping environment, so there aren't any safety hazards that go along with that video part of the monitor itself. But the size doesn't necessarily mean small size, small viewing space. So taking a look at what is the range, what is the visibility, is something that parents should keep in mind.
Okay. Brandy, how big is your monitor? Does it feel big, small? Was that a factor in you picking a monitor?
You know, when we purchased ours, and again, this was over 5 years ago because right. we started with our first set and then were lucky enough that we still had that one on the market when we added to it.
Yeah.
But it was on its way out.
Yes.
So we're hanging on to the technology right now. But at the time, there was handheld and then there was desktop, I guess. I mean, there was... one that almost looked about the size of a small smart tablet.
Okay.
Small tablet.
Yeah.
But we opted for the handheld one just because I figured we're going to be all over the place and I didn't want to just have one on my nightstand.
Right.
That wasn't the only time I was going to want to see them. And so the one we have, people confuse for a cell phone all the time. They think that my monitor is a cell phone because it's about the size of a deck of cards.
Oh, yeah.
And it has the little screen on there and they seriously think it's a phone all the time. And it has a clip. I clip it on my belt so I can listen as I walk around the house without looking at it.
Okay.
And then if I need to see what I'm hearing, I just push the little screen on and look at it that way.
There's a feature that I saw. I have a friend that had a monitor that allowed you to talk to your child through.
It kind of was the
same size as what you're talking about. And it was genius because she would be downstairs and her son would be upstairs and she, trying to get her son to sleep. And she didn't want to go upstairs and say, now lay back down. So she could see it. It was very small. It had a little tiny monitor built into it. And she pushed this little button and she could say, now sit down, lay back down, to the baby, he's just hearing his mom's voice or whatever. The baby did exactly, and she was just sitting at the table the whole time. I'm like, I want that monitor.
I want that house. My house isn't large enough to need that. I can just holler through the walls.
I know, right? Okay, so kind of to go along with that, another thing, and my monitor actually has this too, and that's sound-activated light. So what I mean by light is it shows you different levels, and if the loudness gets to a screaming, crying point, it actually turns a different color. So what's nice about this is if you are a visual person and you don't necessarily want the sound up, you can kind of visually see these levels and be able to tell, what's going on with your child. And it was nice for me to be able to have that simply because, and again, maybe I have an older monitor, but if I turn on the monitor so I can hear the sound, I can also hear a lot of like hum or buzz or something. I don't think it's an interference thing. I just think that I have an older monitor and it's certainly not like super quiet. So, if I didn't want to like hear that, I could kind of see the sound activated light. So that's another feature that, I've seen on baby monitors that seems to help.
That's a really great feature for families with multiples because if there is crying, sometimes when one cries, the other one starts. And so having those visuals, it ends up being able to manage situations of what the children are doing, but it also lets you take a little more relaxation when the kids do go down, so that if you're watching TV or you're talking on the phone, you're able to take those visual cues instead of actually hearing them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I forgot that sometimes my house is crazy noisy, and even if I had it up full blast, I might not even be able to distinguish cries and screams and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's a great point. Julie, when it comes to cords and things being wireless, what do we need to know? I mean, I know one issue that I have with my monitor is that the monitor, so it's a video monitor that goes, you know, inside the nursery, and right now I kind of have it pointed at both of my twins' cribs. If I get it too close, this mistake I made with my oldest son, he would try to yank on it. He would pull it. I can't tell you how many times I had to go into his room. You know, he would pull the cord, like the cord would just kind of detach. So he'd pull it apart. He would try to find the cord behind the crib. I mean, this kid was like a magician and trying to get this thing and disconnect it. So what advice do you have for parents out there when it comes to cords and the positioning, I guess, of their monitors?
Well, the cords are a danger, and any cord, whether it's a baby monitor cord or light cords, anything in the nursery, they do need to be tended to. As I mentioned before, minimum of 3 feet away from any sleeping environment, but really recommendations of 6 feet. And as we said, you know, the baby monitor becomes a fixture in your home. And so as your child grows, you need to keep in mind that the position of that monitor may need to change, because a baby's reach 1 week may be further the next week as they grow. So you need to keep in mind of how your baby moves around in the crib and their access to them, because they can be a danger. And that should be addressed on a regular basis. The other thing that I would mention about just the cord, a lot of people have switched over sometimes to monitors that are powered by batteries and powered by an AC adapter. And so keeping in time, looking for one so that can be powered both by batteries and an adapter, so that when there's a power failure, you don't lose that extra set of eyes and ears.
Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about power outages and that affecting everything. What do you have? Does yours have cords? What do you?
It's
have
exactly what she was just speaking about. I have the AC adapter. I plug it in at night when it's on my nightstand.
Yeah,
and throughout the day, it's battery powered, and I charge it every night.
Yeah, I think I have one that has like it almost. It's not quite as small like a cell phone. It looks more like a kind of a bulky walkie-talkie, but it does have a video thing kind of built into it. Again, I think I'm dating myself. I have like an older monitor. That serves as a wireless thing. And I kind of have the same philosophy with my cell phone. Like, if I want it to work on a regular basis, I make sure that I plug it in every night. And then, you know, if I need it, I take it off. If not, it's pretty much sitting on the charger. And that has kind of worked for me. I guess the only thing I'd be nervous of, if it was your main camera or whatever in the room, that you forget to charge it and then it kind of dies on you. But
right. And I was going to ask Julie, are there battery-powered cameras also? Because I only have a battery-powered monitor.
There may be some that are completely wireless that run on batteries that then have an adapter to them. But regardless of whichever one that you choose, the batteries also, a good thing to keep in mind is when you're changing your smoke alarm batteries, change your baby monitor batteries. It's something that's working all the time. So there needs to be those cues and that really maintenance of your monitors, that just as anything else, really, so that they're always there for you when you need them most.
I know there's some monitors out there. They have some really special features and that I kind of wanted to talk about now. The first one that comes to mind, and we're seeing this more and more, and Brandy alluded to it prior, and that is something that connects to an app or somehow you can view, especially for parents that, you know, maybe want to see, you know, their children throughout the day. Maybe they've got a nanny and they're at work or something like that. Julie, what do you have to say about, you know, monitors that are connected to apps? Is there anything parents should know with regard to that?
The overall really review of them is that they work. They are used a lot by people that understand the technology, like to have it at their fingertips, and that they tend to be pretty secure because of the digital spectrum that they end up working on.
What do you think about them, Brandy?
I think if I were not in the home, I would be obsessed with looking at them.
Yeah. Well, now you could just walk into the room, right? So
I don't know how productive I would be in the workforce if I had the ability to watch my babies all the time.
Oh, I was looking online in preparation for this episode, and I did kind of read some more about some other features I wanted to briefly mention that I thought sounded really cool. Apparently, there's monitors that can keep track of the temperature in your baby's room. I thought that was kind of interesting.
And it's a very important feature because you do want to keep that temperature at a consistent temperature. And as the seasons change, the airflow in your house changes. And so it's an important feature to have on your baby monitor.
Yeah, absolutely. I was telling Brandy before the show started that I have this one room in my house, and it happens to be the nursery, that has a lot of windows in it. And so during the summer, it's the hottest room in the house. And during the winter, it's the coldest room in the house. And it's sometimes hard for me to gauge what that room's temperature is because it's so different from the rest of the house. So I actually think that a system like this would be really helpful for me to be able just to see at a glance, okay, now I know that they're not too cold. They're not too hot or whatever. I think it would be really helpful. Another feature that I saw that I thought was really great, especially, you know, on Twin Talks, we've done episodes about babies coming home from the NICU and stuff like that, that there's different monitors that alert you if your baby hasn't moved recently, if there might be an issue with that. Julie, you've seen monitors like that as well?
I have. There are monitors where you're able to put a pad under the mattress in the baby's room that does end up keeping track of that. They give that extra peace of mind, but one thing that there is that extra cord. And so following the directions, understanding the true use and how you're going to use that type of monitor is very, very important.
So what are we talking about, Julie? I know this may really vary, but for parents out there that want to look into this more, that are maybe concerned a little bit about price, I know it depends on the features and stuff, but what is the general price range that we're looking at to purchase a baby monitor?
It does run the gamut. That analog will be on the lower spectrum, in the $30 to maybe $50 range, you may find them a little less. But as you go up to those advanced features, we're talking somewhere between the $100-$150 range, which is a good range for a lot of features. If we're going feature rich, you'll probably be looking at monitors somewhere more upwards of $225-$250.
Wow. I know when you go into the big box baby stores, they're under lock and key. That's a good indication that it may be probably a good investment, but it might be an investment for you and your family.
That's an indication that it goes on your baby registry.
There you go. Yes. If it's behind the glass, add it to your baby registry. All right. Well, thank you, Julie, for being with us and for chatting with us today. We really appreciate your time. For more information about our expert, as well as the panelists that are on our show, you can visit the episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of the Twin Talks Club. After the show, Julie will share with us some of the common mistakes parents make when it comes to using baby monitors. For more information about the Twin Talks Club, you can visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Here's a question from our listener Sylvie in San Francisco. I don't understand the big deal about alcohol here in the United States. I grew up in France, and it's never been a big deal for pregnant women to have a glass of wine now and then. In fact, the doctors recommend it. So now that I'm pregnant with twins, I feel really conflicted at the few times I've had some wine. With two babies, does it make a difference?
Hi, Sylvie. I'm Dr. Wade Schwendeman from the San Diego Perinatal Center. Thank you for your question. The American College of OBGYN and the American Academy of Pediatrics actually recommend against any safe alcohol use in pregnancy, meaning that there is no safe level. Different governing bodies and different physicians in different parts of the world will use different bodies of evidence to make their recommendations, but those are the recommendations here in the United States. Unfortunately, there's no change whether it's one baby or two, and so moms with twins or moms with a singleton should avoid alcohol use during pregnancy.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, as well as Parent Savers, your parenting resource on the go. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times Two.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.